Hey guys, Divine Psilocybin here. Welcome to the podcast. Today on this episode, it's going to be basically just my last trip report. I'll pretty much take up the entire episode. I'll let you guys know this one ends with dragons and an out-of-body experience. So, so if you're looking forward to that, that's how it ends. But, before I actually get into the trip report, I did have a vision about a week ago that I've been holding on to because I wasn't for sure how to describe it, so I'm going to try to describe it here. I believe this was when I was heading to bed, and I had seen basically it was an ocean. I was like standing on the beach, and I saw the ocean in front of me, and not very big waves, you know, just it was a very calm ocean, but there was one big wave that was coming into the shore. So it's this large wave, and it's kind of just rolling forward, and as it rolls forward, it gets really close to the shore, and it pops up. It kind of like raises up and to reveal this, how to describe these things, it's like a shaggy dog, but instead of having fur, the water is its fur. So it's like a water element shaggy dog, and like so the fur is the water that's coming off of it as it raises up out of the water. The water's coming down over like where the fur would be, and that's where it's hanging, and the dog just kind of like shakes and looks at me, and that was the end of the vision. That was a very cool. This is one of those things that you see, and I've never seen anything like it before. I've never seen anybody create anything like that, or even anything that resembled something like that. And the vision is so vivid, so detailed. I mean, the way that the water is like dripping off of this thing, the way that it's moving, the water's moving across it and over it, and the way it's moving, it's so complex that I don't think a computer could render something like it. Like it's too complex. There's too much to it going on, and it's way too vivid. It amazes me that my human mind can somehow think up of something like this, especially if you believe that these things, these visions and these, you know, the trips, if you believe they're just inside your head, some of these visions are so complex that it becomes hard to actually imagine that your mind is able to create such a thing. So, and it's the same way with the dragons at the end there. Very complex, and we'll get into that eventually. But also, before we get started on the trip report, I'm going to move forward with this idea of I'm going to do the subscription on Spotify. So what it'll be for you guys, if you guys want 99 cents a month, and I'll be posting video episodes. And so on those video episodes, those are what you'll get for the 99 cents a month. And I'll still keep all the trip reports free, and I'll still keep all just my general ramblings and talking about psychedelics. That'll all still be free. The stuff that will be paid for will be very specific visual stuff. You know, like I said, I'll be showing either art or items that I have a harder time describing or things like that. I'll be showing things, so that way I'll take advantage of the video format. So, and depending on how well it does, I'll put in more and more effort, and we'll get better and better with it. You know, I used to do YouTube. I used to do YouTube a lot, actually. I have a channel that has, you know, just more video footage than a person could actually watch. So I have thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of video footage on YouTube, and I never had any real luck with it. So we'll see if Spotify, if anybody has any interest in it or not. If not, then just ignore this and we'll move on. So, all right, on to the trip. Here we go. So before I took the mushrooms, you know, I was waiting around for the girl to get off work. She was working. While she was coming home, there was a large thunderstorm in the area, and she had actually called me up, and because she was a little worried about driving, because, you know, from her work to where I'm currently living it's a little bit of a drive. It's not super long, but it's enough for her. She was a little bit worried about the thunderstorm. So I stepped outside to actually, you know, take a look, because I didn't know how it looked outside. And I was looking up at the clouds, and man, there was just thunder. Just lightning and thunder, and just lightning and thunder. And just like it, just like nonstop. Like the clouds were just flashing all over the place. It was really cool. And I told the girl, "Hey, it's not raining here right now. You know, there's lots of thunder and lightning, but no rain." And so I ended up hanging up with her. And as soon as I hung up with her, it started pouring. I mean, it started just coming down like hardcore. So I was a little worried, you know. She ended up making it here just fine and on time. But the rain was coming down. Actually, by the time she pulled up, the rain had stopped. So it only rained for like a few minutes. It didn't rain very long, you know. And I had my awning up on my camper. So the wind was like really whipping around. So whenever that's going on, I have to be kind of careful with that. I keep it on like the furthest angled setting, the one that's closest to the ground, the one that's, you know, least likely to get damaged during a windstorm. But so girl shows up, and I have it in my head already on this trip that I was going to focus on basically peace. That was my major thing. I was going to focus on peace, and I was also going to focus on a follow-up to my last trip. I was going to focus on quieting my mind, okay? Because I had a few trips, probably about 4 or 5 trips ago, where just in general, I felt like my brain is racing a little bit too much. And I often have to start distracting myself when it starts getting too bad. I have to get up. I have to start blowing smoke out of the hookah. I have to start blowing bubbles to right the course, you know, to steer the ship, you know, like, cause I'm going into like stormy waters, let's say. So I have to get up and I have to start doing stuff. Well, on the last trip, if you guys remember that trip report, one of the things I really wanted was to quiet my mind. And so I wanted to follow up, and I wanted to continue to do that in this trip. And so I ended up taking the mushrooms. I took 4 grams, a little over 4 grams, it was like 4.15 grams of tidal waves. So if you guys don't know, tidal waves are a hybrid of Penis Envy and Golden Teacher. And they're all right. I'm looking forward to getting back to my you know, standard Golden Teachers and my standard you know, Amazons and Mazatecs. So they're on the way. We're gonna go. I'm gonna next time or coming up. Not next time, but coming up soon. Hopefully, I'll get back to the strains that I prefer. So, anyways, so I took them. I blew a little bit of smoke on the hookah. For some reason, it took a long time for this trip to get started, and I was a little worried because I thought I might have eaten too early, or too close to the trip. Like, I probably ate probably really close to like 3.5 hours before I took them. And so I think my stomach was still digesting some of the food, and I think that's why the trip had a hard time, or it didn't have a hard time. It came up really easy, but it came up very slow, like extremely slow. And I was actually worried I didn't take enough. I was actually kind of thinking like, oh, like these might be losing some of their, you know, potency or something like that. I have them kept in a nice, you know, cool place and everything like that. And I always keep my mushrooms, you know, well kept. But anyways, so I was a little surprised that I thought maybe these ones were losing their potency, but really they just came up really, really slow. So anyways, as I laid on the couch, and I think I had, oh, I just had Planet Earth playing. This is becoming my favorite thing just to do, is just to play Planet Earth and nature videos. Like, it just really makes the trip super, super easy, because it's really easy to look at that stuff, look at nature, and just be kind of like mystified by it, you know. So if you're ever having trouble, you know, that's just like a super, super easy thing to get to, is to like just look at nature and just be in awe of it, you know. Like, look at some cool animals. So I'm laying on the couch and I've got that playing, and I'm feeling pretty good, you know. It's slow coming on. I might have got up once or twice, you know, to, you know, see where I was at, kind of go pee, go lay back down and everything like that. And I was closing my eyes and there wasn't a lot of visuals yet. So, once again, I was still focusing on the peace and the quieting of the mind. And so I decided to roll over, and I decided to close my eyes. And I decided to, like, I took my blanket and I, like, wrapped it around myself. And so I was facing the wall, so I was facing away from the TV, and here's when it finally came on, when I finally started getting, like, really up there, and I could hear the voice in the back of my head, right? So, you know that voice that you hear, like, when you just think your thoughts, that normal voice? Usually it's like, right there, it's right in the center of your brain, or it's towards the front of your brain, you know, and it's pretty loud. And when I quiet my mind, that voice still talks. Like, it still continues talking. But when I'm purposely quieting my mind, it fades back. I can, like I said, I can still hear it talking, but it starts to fade to the back, like the really far behind me. And it gets quiet enough that I can just kind of ignore it almost, you know? It's really cool. It's this really cool effect. Now, I'm not really sure exactly how I do it, but just slowly quiet it. You just slowly quiet that voice, and you just focus on not listening to it, quieting it down, making it quieter, putting it further back into the back of your mind. And all of a sudden, there you go. You ain't thinking of nothing, you know, and it's just, you know, it's very relaxing. And since I said I was focusing on, like, peace, and what I mean by peace, like, I mean, like, the peace of mind, like, the inner peace, the just feeling like, not even that everything's good, but just like, no matter what, you're just here, and it's just okay, and it's just like, like, you ain't got to think about nothing. You ain't got to do anything. Just lay there and just feel, you know? And so, and it really worked. I mean, it really worked. I was sitting there and I could just feel this just, like, super, super warmth, like, wrapped around my chest. Like, not my whole body, just around my chest, just around my heart, you know? And it was like this very strong, warm, you know, just like, it's like being held almost, you know. You're just like rocking a kid back and forth. Think of something like that. So you're just being, I'm just being held there, and oh man, it was so peaceful. It was just, and I just continued to just lay there and relax, you know, and it was great. I probably did that for, I'm not really for sure how long. It was hard. I didn't keep track of time, and I was just laying there, and I can't imagine that it was, you know, less than half an hour, but it could have been less than that. But, you know, So eventually I rolled over and I started watching the TV again and everything. And by that point in time, you know, now I'm starting to think a little bit more. I'm letting the voice come back a little bit so I can kind of contemplate what just happened, you know, and where I'm at and everything. I'm watching the TV and I'm seeing a couple cool animals, and I was kind of making slight comments on that. I was letting my mind come in and make comments on that. And so as that's coming, and as I'm contemplating these things and how much the piece is, how good it felt and everything like that, I started getting a little emotional, you know. I started dropping a few tears, you know. I remember at one point in time, the girl came over and said, "Hey, you all right?" and everything. And I said, "Yeah, I'm great. I'm having a good old time, you know." But, you know, there was definitely tears running down my face. But it was, yeah, it was in just incredibly emotionally peaceful feeling. Like, I don't know how else to describe it, but this feeling right here, though, I want to say that this feeling right here, this is the reason that I have the podcast. This is the reason that I'm continuing to record episodes. This is the reason why I want to tell people about mushrooms, how you can find this thing, this peace. It's not even overwhelming. It's like, it's so balanced. It's just, it's like almost pure peace, right? And so I want to tell people about the mushrooms, and I want to continue making these episodes so I can tell people about that, that it's out there and that maybe you can find it too, you know? It's like, this is an amazing experience. This is one of those experiences that's just, it's indescribable, you know. I'm doing the best I can to describe it, and you can see I'm caught on it right now. I'm trying to see if I can get any more words out to tell you guys about it, but, you know, the point is I think other people can reach this place too, and I'm hoping that my podcast can get someone else there. If I can get just one other person to that place, man, I don't even know. It's too emotional. It's too big for me to comprehend, you know. But anyways, so felt that peace, and so then the dogs started moving around. My two dogs, they were laying on my lap and everything like that. And when I turn over, usually I end up kicking them off the couch or something like that, because I want to get comfortable again. But my male dog, now I've, you know, raised him since he was a puppy, and he's an incredibly smart dog. I mean, just stupid smart dog. But we're laying there, and this happens a lot when I'm tripping. The dog can sense the things that I feel as well. Or this is one of those things where it kind of makes me believe that the you know, like the entities that you see are real, because the dog senses something too. He'll start acting funny. He'll like look at you, and he'll you know, his eyes will get wider, and he'll just kind of like, he'll either like let out a little whine or something, or a little, you know, like to let you know that he senses something too. You know, he'll give you a clue. Like, he'll stare at you and he'll be like, "Oh my God," you can see him, like you can see him kind of get low a little bit, you know. You can see him, and he doesn't get like frightened, you know. It's more like a, I don't even know how to say it. I guess it's like more like an awe type experience, you know, that he, or type of feeling that he gives out, you know. This, like, he's like, "Oh my God, something's here," you know what I mean? Like, it's funny. I've seen him do it many times too, by the way. I mean, you know, there's been times where he's definitely seemed to have felt something, and he'll either come and cuddle up with me or cuddle up with the girl, you know, and he'll look around, and he'll, you know, sit down. And see, it's funny, the girl dog actually doesn't do it. She just, you know, I've seen her get like kind of like excited and like jump around and run around, kind of not like fast run around, but kind of like hop and prance around, you know, when something big feeling comes along. So in the case of this trip though, after I felt that peace and after I started watching TV again, dog comes on over, and like I said, there was something like a presence between me and him on the couch, you know, like I'm laying kind of more towards the back of the couch and he's sitting on the ground looking over the couch, you know, and there's something just that kind of appears between us, and you know that he sensed it and I definitely sensed it. It was large, you know, feeling, just, it was very good. It was a very good feeling, of course, and I just kind of like, ooh, you know, when that happens, when those things come, I usually have to kind of like as when they go away, I kind of have to kind of like sit still and like try to, you know, hang on, you know. So anyways, the dog sensing the thing, like I said, that's happened many times before, and I think it's another part of the puzzle that kind of adds to these things might be, you know, a little bit more than just, you know, just in your mind, you know. So they say that we only see like 1% of the visual spectrum, right? There's tons of things that we don't see, you know, visually. We only see like a small sector of wavelengths that our eyes can process, you know. And same thing with our hearing. We can only hear between certain hertz, you know. You can't go outside of those hertz and hear what's out there. And so, you know, certain instruments can detect, you know, things like that, but we can't visually see them and we can't visually hear them. And so a lot of people make the point, you know, it's like, whoa, if we're only seeing 1% and we're only hearing 1%, you know, of what's out there, then, you know, what's all around you? There could be tons of stuff around you that you don't even know. So after the dog and me had the interaction, I got up and I walked on over to the table where I had the hookah set up. Oh, I had set up, I got these bottles and I put some dye in them and I put some beads in them and I put some glitter in them and some Dawn soap, and I'd shake them up and everything. They're really pretty visually. Obviously, I have my bubbles out. I had my black light on. We had just done some black light paintings, you know, the day before, me and the girl, and so had those out. So I sat down at the table, and the hookah flavor I had this, it's called apple, but it tastes like licorice, and I'm not a big fan of it. It's one that I've held on to for like a long time, and I was just using it to kind of try to get rid of it, and it was all right. But so anyways, I was sitting there smoking with her and just relaxing. And this is usually, see, conversations between me and her, I don't really know how they get started, but they always end up, especially when we're high, they always end up drifting towards like the Bible and Jesus and just those kind of things, just very theological based discussions. That's where we end up going with it. And now recently, like my last probably like 4 or 5 trips, man, I've been like really preaching. like I get into this spirit where I'm just like, where I'm putting a lot of things together and I become very, very preachy. Now, it's not like Baptist preaching. It's more like, it's just more like explaining things, how I think you're supposed to be reading the Bible and that kind of stuff. And anyways, well, let's take a break right here and I'll get into more of that on the second half here. We'll get into what I'm preaching about. And then, like I said, this ends up, oh, there's two things that we will finish off with. Okay. So there are like hidden like doors out there, and I found one, and I didn't open it or go very far with it or anything like that, but I found a hidden door, and it was really interesting. So we'll get into that in the second half, and then we'll finish off, like I said, dragons and an out-of-body experience. So be right back. Hey guys, welcome back. Alright, so let's get into this preaching that I ended up doing while I'm on the mushrooms here. Like I said, it's happened the last probably good 4 or 5 trips now, and this one actually wasn't as heavy because I've said a lot of the things before. Like the last trip, the preaching was a lot heavier than it was on this trip. But so I end up contemplating the Bible in as grounded and as down to earth way as possible. So I watch tons, or I mean throughout my entire life I've watched tons of theological arguments on certain passages, this passage or that passage, what does it mean, what are they talking about, you know, and what's the message supposed to be. And everybody's got their own interpretation, obviously, and you can listen to it almost unending. I mean, there's the amount of stuff that's in the Bible that you can like dig through is, it's just unexhausting, right? But some people get so fixated on their way of thinking about a certain specific passage, this one or that one, that it restricts them and it creates a wall instead of opening up and inviting more people in. It's not necessarily a message of hope, especially when it comes to things like the Baptists and how the Baptists were preaching in, you know, the late 90s, you know, where it's very much brimstone, fire, hell, you're going to hell if you don't change your ways, you know what I mean? I end up thinking more positively about these things. I end up sitting there and saying, I think Jesus's message was like a serious message of hope, you know, of like love and hope and compassion. And I don't think these messages about hell that people are trying to like dig into, you know, it's like, oh, you have to be baptized in this specific way in order to get to heaven. I mean, that is just not the message, you know what I mean? If you want to, when you read the Bible, you don't want to read the individual words necessarily. You want to look at the spirit of the Bible. That's what you want to find. You don't want to, because Jesus's whole message against the Pharisees was, you know, you guys are so deep into your laws, you know, you've written these laws that people have to follow, and they think that's the only way they're going to get to heaven is if they follow these laws like right down to the letter, you know what I mean? And it's gonna, basically Jesus's message is that thinking turns around and bites you in the butt, because now you're holding to the same laws, and if you break those laws, well then you're a hypocrite, right? So Jesus's message wasn't, and he said this is why he tore, this is why in the Bible, you know, the temple, when Jesus is crucified, the temple is torn down, and Jesus says that the law is now written on man's heart. You know, it's the message is what you really need to do when you should be reading the Bible is you should be looking at the overall message, the whole message, you know, what's the whole message about, you know, not just nitpicking these little things here and there. And so when I'm preaching here, and when I'm on the mushrooms, and on this last trip, when I was preaching, that's how the message ends up coming across. It ends up coming across like very, very grounded, very, very down to earth, very much just like, just forgive and forget your enemies, you know, work together, feel love and compassion for your fellow man, you know, help the people that are suffering, you know, that are suffering either needlessly or maybe not so needlessly, but still have compassion and still try to help them out to the best of your ability, you know. And it's just not so much nitpicking about like what is right and what is wrong. It's like people have, you know, people will feel it. I think if people just pay attention, they can feel what's on their heart, you know. If you're really paying attention to you know, what you feel is right or wrong, and not getting caught up in like some message where somebody else is telling you what's right or wrong, or why it's right or wrong, or whatnot. I think the message is just stop, you know, take a big breather, and just kind of feel it. And when you do that, what comes across, I'm telling you, is this very much humanity should be like open, inviting, welcoming, you know, very like towards everybody, anybody and everybody. And you should be working together, and you should be, you know, trying to lift each other up, you know. When you see somebody that's down, you know, and even if you don't have much to do, you know, or much to give them, or in much ways to help that person that's down, you know, just do what you can, you know, even if it's just going over, you know, to this person and saying, look, I feel for you, you know, like, something like that, or just, I don't know, just reaching out your heart towards somebody, you know, that is in need of, you know, being reached out to, you know. So I don't know if you guys know, like, some of the books in the Bible are written in what's called apocalyptic language, right? So Revelations is obviously, you know, the best example. Revelations is the last book in the Bible, obviously, and it is written in apocalyptic language. It talks about these crazy, you know, magical things happening, like dragons coming out of the sea, you know, with three horns and, or I'm sorry, three heads and 10 horns, and it talks about seven eyes on a lamb, you know, that's sitting on a throne. And so the language written there obviously should not be taken literal. You know, you should not be reading that and thinking that what they're talking about is there's literally going to be a dragon that comes out of the sea. No. What they're talking about, and this is what I was saying about the whole being grounded and down to earth. It's like all these things that they're trying to describe, it's like when we're trying to describe the feelings and the things that happen on the mushrooms, right? You can't describe them. You can't, you know, start talking about them without invoking some sort of, you know, mythological language, without starting to talk about things like angels and demons and entities and aliens and, you know, whatever, dragons. So the same thing with this. It's what Revelations, what the Bible is talking about, is something that's grounded. It is something that's here. It is something that you, I mean, just in your everyday life, can see and recognize and feel. The messages are not meant for like big grandiose, you know, like I said, dragons coming out of the sea. That's not the message. The message is so much more about your individual life. It's so much more about, you know, how you, and it's so much here too. It's the message is about what you do on this side of heaven, you know what I mean, on this side of death. This is where, you know, because when you get over there on the other side, I'm telling you, I don't think God's going to care about some of the things that people think that he's going to care about. Some people think he's going to care about whether or not you were baptized. You know what I mean? And that's not going to be what he cares about. He's going to more so care about on whether you actually were out there helping people, about when you had the opportunity to help somebody that was in need, did you help them? That's what he's going to care about. He ain't going to care about these like little tiny laws. Did you have premarital sex, you know? No, he's going to care about when you made your promises, you know, to this or that person, and, you know, on your heart, do you feel like you did the right thing? You know what I mean? That's what he's going to care about. He's going to care about those things. He's going to care. I guess this is an old thing. I don't know if I'm pretty sure I must have brought this up in other recordings. They talk about God's judgment, you know. How does God judge? You know, it's so hard because some people have certain things in their mind or on their hearts or whatever, and you're not playing with the full deck, obviously. You're only playing with what you have. And so there's a lot of things that escape you. You know, you don't have all the information, and you can't have all the information, you know what I mean? So God has to judge you based on, this is like the logical conclusion here, if he's a fair God, if he's an ultimately fair God, he has to judge you from your perspective. So really what's going to happen is it's not God's not going to judge you, it's you that's going to judge you based on your own like way of thinking, the own laws, the things that you said that you know that you think are important, or you think that, you know, are what you should be doing. And, you know, he's going to compare that to your heart, you know, and you'll know the difference. You know, it'll be blatantly obvious. There ain't going to be like no question about it, you know. So the Bible and these things, revelations, the messages, these miracles and everything, there's so much more about just your day-to-day life. They're so much more grounded than you could ever possibly imagine. That's the message that I end up preaching when I'm when I'm high on the mushrooms. I'm glad I could get some of it out right now, and I guess I'll call it quits right there. But basically, that's what I end up preaching while I'm on mushrooms. I talk a little bit about money and society and what society is based on. And basically the idea is, if you base your society on something that's not real, like money's not real, right? I mean, it's just a piece of paper, right? A dollar bill is just a piece of paper. And ultimately, when that piece of paper is worth nothing, when people stop caring about that $1 bill, then the things that are going to matter are going to be like your skills. They're going to be what you do, you know. Do you know how to, like, go out and grow your own food? Do you know how to, like, shelter yourself and provide for your family, you know, in a world without money, you know? So if your foundation is based on something like love and caringness and hope and being open towards other people that are coming, instead of being based on greed and money and something that doesn't exist, you know, you're gonna have, when the chips are down, you know, when like the world's let loose and everybody's, you know, fighting over, you know, the scraps or whatever, when society collapses and stuff like that, if it collapses, it might not, but if it does, the people that will end up surviving are the people that are gonna, or the people that are gonna, they might not be the ones that end up surviving, but the people that are really gonna do the best spiritually are gonna be the people that are gonna be helping each other. They're gonna be, you know, teaching each other like how to grow food and how to keep each other safe and how to keep each other warm, or, you know, whatever that those things might be. Okay, let's move on before it gets too late here. So that was all the preaching stuff. So, okay, so real quick, cool thing that happened So the wind, I told you there was like a thunderstorm before the trip started. Well, the wind started really whipping around. So my awning had previously been, it had gotten caught. It had like the roller stopped rolling out and stopped rolling out about 2/3 of the way. And as the wind was whipping around, it knocked the awning loose. And so the awning actually unfurled all the way out. You know, I mean, there was a little bit more to it. I had to go out there and I had to adjust it. And then I came back out and I adjusted it again. But basically that wind whipping around. So basically I ended up, you know, as it was going on, I was telling the girlfriend, look, God's fixing my awning. it had been broken. You know, I mean, the awning still worked, but like I said, the roller didn't roll out all the way. It only rolled out like 2/3 of the way, but it had been broken like that for quite a while now. It's been stuck there for a couple months probably, and it was crazy. And I couldn't fix it myself because, you know, the only way to unroll it is you got to like pull on this rope, you know, that this string that holds it there in place. And then as you pull on that, you know, if I pulled too hard, I'd just rip it off, you know. And so there was no way I was going to keep doing that. And so I was stuck and felt good with it at, you know, 2/3 of the way out. And so it was really cool. Like, God fixed my awning. All right, so let's talk about the secret place here I ended up finding. I'm going to tell you guys how I got here, right? So this is the whole navigating the tree or finding the pathways, you know, following down certain pathways, right? I came to a place. This was kind of closer towards the end of the trip. The girlfriend was like laying down. I was still sitting on the table. And I was smoking out of the hookah and everything like that. And I thought a very specific question: what is God trying to accomplish here, right? Part of this that came into play, a couple things that you start thinking about is, one thing is God's got to be like super efficient, right? Like, God doesn't like waste his time, you know what I mean? Well, I mean, you know, he probably experiences time in obviously a very much different way than us. But one of the things that you think about when you think about God, okay, so he's omnipresent, you know, all powerful, all knowing, right? So when he started this experiment that we call this world, when he started creation, he knew exactly how it would end, right? He had to have, right? Because he's all-knowing. So he knows the future and everything. He knows exactly how it's going to play out, right? He wouldn't have started the thing unless he was going to get to a very specific place that he wanted to at the end of it, right? So, what's that very specific thing that he's trying to get to at the end of time, you know, at the end of our world, you know? He probably has millions of worlds. He has tons of experiments he's probably doing. Like I said, he's super efficient, though. He would be super efficient. I often question, you know, why do we live to be as old as we do? You know, it seems like a short time, but then again, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not very short at all. It's hard to say, you know, like, do you feel like this life drags on for a long time? Because I feel like I've been here for a long time, you know what I mean? But really, then once again, then you look at how long the universe has been going on for. No, we haven't been here hardly at all, you know? So anyways, to get back to it, though, God's super efficient, so he's doing something very specific, and he's probably doing multiple things at the same time, but there's something, though, that he's trying to get to at the end of time. There's something that he's trying to do, and once you figure out what that is, and once you actually hit that, once someone actually hits that mark, whatever that is, I think it's game over. I think once you complete the experiment, I think the experiment will stop. I think this is, because there'd be no reason to keep it going, right? Once he gets, because like I said, he knows how it's going to end, right? He knows that there is an end, right? There has to be an end somewhere, right? And he knows where that's at, and he knows how it's going to end, right? So, like I said, if you can figure out what that end is, you can literally stop the experiment. I think this is what they talk about in, like, Revelations when they talk about a rapture, kind of. Although, that's kind of funny, because I've mentioned the rapture many times in my preaching, and I sit there, and sometimes I say, no, it's going to be just, you know, one day people are just going to look up, and they're just going to see that there's no good people left, you know, and that could be just as likely, you know. But one of the things is, you know, if you're looking for, like, the true rapture, you know, if you're looking for, like, everybody just disappears and is automatically in heaven instantly, I think it's going to be an end of time like scenario. It's going to be like a, you know, there's something specific. So anyways, so once I started thinking about this, by the way, and that was me trying to explain to you how to get there. And there's a lot more to it. You got to think of God's aspects, you know, of, you know, him being a father, you know, him being peace and love and, you know, all those things. You got to bring them all together. So I didn't get too far. Like I said, I didn't open the door because what happened was, so when I thought this thought, and it happened pretty quickly, but when I thought the thought, okay, what is God specifically trying to do, right? When I thought that, I started seeing, well, for a lack of a better word, like demons, like on the ground. Like my floor is, I guess it's linoleum is what it is, but it's got like this stonework looking, you know, design to it. And I was kind of had my head kind of drooped down. So I was kind of looking downwards. And the more I thought about this thing, all of a sudden, like, things started moving around me. Like, the floor started moving. I started seeing, like, kind of like some scary-looking imagery and everything. Now, I didn't get immediately scared or anything like that, but it was kind of one of those things where I kind of looked around. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, what's going on, you know? And it was clearly, obviously, me thinking about something specific. It was me thinking about this. Like, what is God trying to accomplish? So, like, I didn't go any further, because once I saw those things start popping, I was a little too tired, it was getting closer, it had been over 4 hours, you know, I was still high, and I was, you know, still, I was getting tired and everything like that, and I just, you know, if I had seen that at the beginning of the trip, I might have gone down that path, but being where I was at feeling, I just kind of like let it go. It was kind of like I contemplated just for a second, just enough to say there's something down there, there's some reason those things started, because as soon as I stopped thinking about the imagery and the moving around, all disappeared, you know. And so I think that's a clue. So I've talked before on the trips, I think Satan is he's like a guardian, right? He's something that you can't get past, right? Or he's something that tries to trick you from being able to go down that path. He's something that draws you off of the path, you know what I mean? He's something that distracts you or scares you away, or he doesn't want you to go down there, right? Because if you do go down there, you might find something good, you know what I mean? You might find some treasure, you know what I mean? And so I think that's one. And so, I don't know, maybe a braver soul, you know, be careful, but maybe a braver soul, if you want to sit there and start looking into it, think really hard about what specifically God is trying to accomplish. Now, if it was just Jesus, here's another rebuttal to it real quick. If it was just Jesus, when Jesus came and did what he did, then it would have ended then. So there's something more to it, you know? And the key probably was something to do with Jesus coming at one point in time, and then obviously other prophets coming at certain times, but there's something that he's trying to get to, right? Obviously something at the end. And so or else the experiment still wouldn't be going, like creation would not still be going, you know, And so you can try to figure that out. So let's end this off real quick, and I'm gonna tell you about the dragon lair. Oh God. So I was tired enough, and the girl was tired enough that we decided to go lay down in the bed. So we lay down in the bed, and as I lay down in the bed, you know, all the lights are off, I close my eyes, all of a sudden visions start coming, you know. I'm obviously, you know, when you close your eyes on mushrooms, you see, you know, you got the shapes and the colors and the, you know, stuff flying around, whatnot. But something happened. This is like one of those vision, kind of like that vision like I described at the beginning, where I started to see something that was more real. It was me standing. Now, I don't know if it was just like a floating island or like a bridge. Like, I guess there was a bridge too. It was like two floating islands and a bridge in between or something like that. Or like a walkway, I guess, kind of. I guess it could be a walkway of floating islands and bridges. I'm trying to draw it out in my mind here. Because it wasn't just one floating, like, island that was, like, circular in shape. It was like a walkway, you know, that stretched off kind of into the distance. Now, on this bridge, you know, the colors were very, like, blue, like, blues and dark purples, and ranging from light blues to dark blues and kind of everything in between there, really, yeah, just really the much of those colors. And so I was standing out there on one of these either walkways or bridges or whatever you want to call it, and all around me were these massive giant flying dragons. And they were like long, like serpent-like long dragons with kind of a pointed nose, with spikes coming off the back of their head. They very much look kind of like, I don't know if you guys seen Dragon Ball Z. Shenron is the dragon from Dragon Ball Z, so look him up maybe and you'll kind of get the idea. This kind of like these snaking, you know, long-headed dragons, and they were flying around, they're flying over the islands in circles, and they were going around them, like flying in every which way and direction. And there were probably like a handful of them, I guess, maybe half a dozen of them, I guess, maybe a little bit more than that. You know, there certainly weren't more than like 12, there were less than that. So, but they're, yeah, just flying all the way around me and everything, and I'm just standing out there on the middle of the middle of these islands. This is one of those things where it's hard to describe. I don't know how to describe this, you know. It was so vivid, so detailed. Like, the dragons were incredibly detailed. You could see every spike coming off their body, every scale, you know. You could see their eyes, their teeth, their tongues, their, you know, just everything about them, you know, very, very detailed and vivid. So then what happened, as I'm laying there, I can feel my body as I am laying in the bed. I can feel my arm like lift up. But at the same time, I'm blatantly aware that my arm is for real just laying on the bed. Like, I hadn't moved at all, but I felt like I was moving. I felt like I was getting up out of my body. And so, I mean, man, like, it's so hard to describe. My hand actually moved up, out, off of my body, you know? And, anyways, I didn't go around anywhere crazy, but as I'm laying there with my eyes closed, all of a sudden, you know, I find myself in like these bluish ocean worlds. There's lots of blues and greens and purples. There's like things like fish swimming by. Very much everything looks like water, And I find myself in this place where, yeah, where it's just blue, you know, and green and ocean and fish. And so, oh my God, looks like I am out of time here. 30 seconds I got left. So, thank you all for listening. If you guys are still here to the end, so these things become so vivid at the end. Eventually, I just fell asleep. I'll let you guys know. But they become so vivid that they become impossible to describe. And just, they're just magical, crazy realms. So. Hey guys, I'm just gonna add on an extra little bonus stuff here. I didn't want anybody to feel cheated about the, you know, the dragon and out of body experience. I wanted to give them a little bit more description. So with the dragon vision thing here, the interesting thing is I saw it from a third person perspective. You know, like I saw it from up above myself. But I know that that person that was standing, you know, on the platforms was me, which is really interesting. You say, how do you know it was you? It's just something that you just know. Anyways, so the vision was from a third-person perspective. And the neat thing about this was as the dragons were circling around, some of them got closer to me and some of them got further away. Or from my point of view, so I could see them in more detail as they came by, you know, like one would come by, and it was cool because as one kind of like they're swooping up and down as they're flying, and so as one kind of swoops down and as he comes up, he kind of like opens his mouth as he comes on by me, you know, my perspective, you know, he comes on by, so you see him like open his mouth and then swoop on from the left to the right and. Then go back down more towards where, you know, where the platform is, where I'm standing. And so very, like I said, very, very detailed. With the ocean, like, world feeling vibes, the interesting thing is they all reminded me of oceans and fish and things like that. But they did look very alien-like. They did look like almost what you would expect the ocean to be like on an alien world, you know. There was more to it, you know, and they didn't fit with anything that is here on this world, you know what I mean? They just looked similar in nature, but not the same. So I hope that makes sense. The ocean stuff was all from first person perspective, and like I said, that was after I had left my body. And so the cool thing is when I left my body, then I don't know when I fell asleep. There were many times where my body opened its eyes and I could see still in the room, but I'm pretty sure that my body was actually asleep. I think my soul or my spirit was awake and outdoing its thing here, going to this, you know, alien ocean world and whatnot. And I think I checked back in on my body a few times to make sure it had fallen asleep. And I think eventually then, you know, the experience just ended with me actually falling asleep. But my body fell asleep, I'm pretty sure, well before, you know, my consciousness came back in and decided to go to sleep. So well, it's really interesting, you know. I'm not really for sure what's going on with my dreams either, you know, with them being so vivid in some cases. You know, is the consciousness leaving, going somewhere, you know, and then due to the fact that the body has, you know, holds the memories in the brain, you know, is the consciousness not able to bring back those memories and hold on to them, you know, and maybe finally after death, maybe the consciousness will hold on to those dreams or something like that. See, it's really strange. Like, one thing that I would really like to do after death is I'd really like to get the memory of those dreams back and bring them back and remember them a little bit more solidly, you know. So anyways, okay guys, that's gonna end the episode. So thank you guys very much for listening. Like I said, if you guys are still listening right here to the end, you know, I'd really appreciate, you know, some feedback or a rating, you know, on whatever platform you guys are on. And just, you know, keep in mind, I'm gonna try to get these subscription based episodes out now. So that's my next thing I'll be working on, and the next episode I will release will be a subscription-based episode. So thanks, guys, very much.